Hello, human peoples. You're listening to the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. Support us and gain access to great exclusive podcasts like Fox Mulder is a Maniac, Tom and Jeff Watch Batman, Star Trek The Next Futurama, and our latest show, Spiel Boys. Head over to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We do game streaming, movie nights with our patrons every Friday night, and you can even commission your own podcast about anything you want. Literally anything, within reason, and we have to do it. You are quite frankly out of excuses not to go visit patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Podcast mit Tom Reimann und David Bell.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. Hi.
We're on an episode of Hypecast.
Hypecast.
It's a show where we get hyped about stuff and things. I'm your co-host, Tom Reimann.
I'm your other co-host, David Bell.
Woo. I'm Michael Swaim. I'm also here.
Mikkel.
Woo.
How you doing? Welcome.
Ham.
Ham?
Wasn't that the app? It either did ham or horn. It's from something, man. My neurons just fire randomly and hit various
pants
pop culture
boots,
things.
Pants and boots and pants and boots and pants and boots.
That's right.
That's the That's other right. one.
Oh, thank you so much for being on here. Thank you, Michael.
My pleasure. My sincere pleasure.
What have you been up to?
Yeah.
Well, if you've been missing my voice, it's... Well, actually, I think we covered it so that you wouldn't notice because there were one-upsmanships on backlog. But I haven't been podcasting for a month. I was on my honeymoon, which was a month long. Pretty epic. And it comes at a good time because I just lost my job. So it's the last grand huzzah. And we went to New Zealand for a month. It was incredible.
So in a way, your job was like, well, you know what? We know you're going on this honeymoon. We want to make it extra special. You don't have a job anymore.
It was a sweet-ass job, actually, because they gave us heck of time off for various things. They had monthly time off for menstruation leave for people who menstruate. Yeah.
Oh.
They had I said I was going to take a month-long honeymoon, and then I was going to take some weeks off to shoot our indie movie Papa Bear, and they're like, fine. And they still paid me for those periods. It was too good to be true. Because then, of course, it imploded.
Yeah, they're like, we're really relaxed. And then they're like,
well, we were too relaxed.
Yeah. I guess we should have been more terrible to you. Yeah. Damn.
Should have mistreated you guys a little more.
I've had a few bites of that apple.
Yeah.
Like, man, they're just throwing money around. I guess this is going really well. Oh, we're out of money. Okay, we're out of money.
You say.
A lot of this makes sense now.
Yeah. Yep.
I assumed there was an adult somewhere in this chain, but apparently
it's one of the nine ways the jobs that we get can go. There's a few templates, yeah.
Oh, yeah, where they're like, we're going to be fun. And I'm like, oh, cool. I'm going to have fun for a few months.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to need a new job.
I'm going to be really stressed out.
There will always be podcasts.
It's true. We can always retreat here. That's why we made this home for ourselves. Mm-hmm.
It's true. Speaking of which, Michael, do you have any podcasts to plug or non-podcasts, like anything
you
want to plug?
I'll plug the Patreon shop because it's been a while. Over at patreon.com/smallbean/shop, there's things you can pick up. There's a $6 full-color 20-some-page comic book that I wrote that Garth Von Annen did the art for. That's quite good. If you've ever liked any of my like sci-fi short stories, you'll like it. It's basically one of those in comic form. And then for 20 bucks, you can pick up my novel, which at least one person hearing this will be like, word, he has a novel. I just released my first novel. You can get a PDF of it at the shop. I will say, just to start building buzz for it over the long term, I'm about 35% the way through recording the audiobook. And I know a lot of people will prefer that. But it's long to read a book out loud.
There's a hard copy. I have the hard copy.
Oh, you do? Delightful. There's a hard copy at barnesandnoble.com. through their self-publishing thing.
It's really solid. Like, it's like a textbook, like a school textbook.
It is.
That kind
it's
of
very square
like
and proper.
Cover.
Sam the Eagle vibes. Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice.
Yeah. And soon in that same spot, there will be a rap album. That's the next thing.
Oh, damn.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
I like doing a bunch of different things. That's my thing.
That's really cool, man. That's really cool. I had a couple of similar ideas I wanted to try this year. So
good.
So
well, writing awesome, a book dude. Is as rewarding as I thought it would be this whole time I've been trying to do it. So I highly recommend it.
I've written three. Yeah. They just can't get them published.
Yeah.
I'm probably not very good.
You go to a fucking bookstore and you look at how many bad books there are and it's boggling, mind-boggling.
Right. It's like, that could be my bad book.
Yeah, exactly.
See, here's the secret is call it a manifesto. Go out, do a few things. They'll publish that
shit. Non-specific. Yeah.
People will read. People will read it.
We'll I love that that's read. Where this conversation went.
That's where Dave took it.
Yeah, that's where Dave dragged it. He dragged it into the like fucking Leatherface. Yeah. The first kill in Texas Chainsaw. Just whips open the door and drags us away into the meat room.
Yeah. Oh, you gotta have a meat room.
Yeah.
That's where all the meat goes.
Yeah.
Where it gets made.
Where do you put your meat?
Yeah. Where do you make your meat?
Exactly.
In a meat room. Speaking of meat room, do we wanna thank some Patreon producers?
Yeah, that's kind of like our meat room.
Yeah, there are meat.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I will do that. I will start thanking producers right now. Big old thank you to @NerdNumbers.
Thank you.
Thank you to Zero Charisma.
Thank you.
Thank you to A Bag Full of Bags.
Thank you so much.
Thank you to Aaron Burser.
Hey, thanks.
Thank you to AJ.
Thank you.
Thank you to Andrew. Michael deserves more hype. McGuire.
Thank you.
Thank you to Andrew Howes, the ending story. Let's wrap it up already.
Thank you.
Sun Explode. Let's do it. Thank you to Asking Seven.
Thank you so much. Thank you to Bob Grenville.
Thank you.
Thank you to Bootler Burleson.
Thank you.
Thank you to Brian, who Tom knows.
Thank you.
Thank you to Brockway, loves the meat, Millie.
Thank you.
Thank you to Burrito, wants you to drink water, hit the gym, and do the ska, because they loves y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you to Chester's Prophet.
Thank you.
Thank you to Christopher Robert Spartz, Esquire.
Thank you.
Thank you to Dan Hackroyd.
Thank you.
I thought you were about to do your Donatello voice again.
Thank you.
It's been a while.
I forget. I don't even
remember.
He's just
deflating.
I believe it was, this is just
I was
me,
like,
best,
hi.
It's the best of my memory. It was like, I'm Donatello.
I'm Donatello. Yeah, that's, I
like
mean,
a
that's
Fran
as good
Drescher
as a...
Fran Drescher on Quaaludes.
Right. Yeah. Well, we don't know what the real Donatello sounded like. There's no evidence of that.
Do you
historical
mean the
evidence.
Renaissance artist Donatello?
No, the turtle.
The historical turtle.
No recordings of his voice are known to exist.
Right,
so.
Exactly. So it could be anything.
It could be anything. Yeah, we're left with the interpretation of the cartoon.
Well, all they found was that purple
Sundry movies
cloth scrap, the shroud of turtle.
Nice. High five.
The shroud of turpin.
Yeah.
Is that right? Is that right? Aren't turps a turtle?
There's no wrong
answers
here.
Yeah. Terrapin. There it was. There
the
it was.
Shroud of terrapin. Yeah, we got there.
I said it wrong.
Comedy writing. This is, see, when you say you're a comedy writer, as I did to our whitewater rafting guy, they're always like, tell me a joke then. And you're like, what is this, vaudeville? Here's how it works. We collectively grope our way towards the proper phrasing of a joke, like as a group. That I can do.
We sweatily fumble our way towards a punchline that we all agree on.
Right. Whenever someone's like, tell me a joke,
towers?
I'm like,
which
okay,
is,
I'm
is
gonna...
it too soon?
Yeah. It's like, I'm just going to go away for, all right, give me 10 minutes in a piece of paper and I'll come back with a joke.
And a topic? You got a topic? It would be helpful. Yeah.
And like $5.
What's the premise? What's the segment?
Yeah. You guys want to talk about movies?
Please.
I'd love to.
Movie trailers specifically. Mm-hmm. More specifically, the trailer for Unfrosted, the Pop-Tart movie with Jerry Seinfeld.
Sure.
Who is,
directed
you know, he's always
by Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's had nothing but a good history with movies, right? Jerry Seinfeld.
Just
nothing
the one where
hits.
The bee wants to make love to the human woman. That's right.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. I've never actually seen
it's
a movie with Seinfeld in
no.
it.
I think it's just that he's famously does not do movies.
Yeah, and like, I mean, he doesn't do much of anything.
No,
anymore.
He really doesn't. He just sits and collects syndication
he'll
money.
He'll occasionally
which
have
is what
a stand-up tour. He has
that
had
is true.
Stand-up tours once every 8 years or something. I think he did a documentary about his stand-up tour, ancillary content. He's kind of a Bill Watterson in that way. It's like I'm out.
Yeah, he's like he's retired and like. It's like, you know, I don't love the guy, but that is definitely the right thing to do. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I do just respect that to a degree. Yeah.
Hanging out with his teenage girlfriend. Because I know I'm never going to stop.
No, he does not stop.
I respect talented people who continue to make things. You know,
yeah, that's, yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen to me.
Right, of course. They'll download our brains to keep the party going because it's so important. Mm-hmm. It is the most stacked comedy cast I've seen in a long time, right? Because when the king deigns to come down from the mountain. So, like, I just love seeing weird tertiary comics that I like see getting work, like Andy Daly as the Quaker Oats guy.
Yeah.
One of my favorite improvisers.
That was pretty great.
It's from some writers. So, it's from Jerry Seinfeld wrote it along with the writer of the B-movie. Another writer of the B movie. Let's see, third one.
And the B.
And another writer of the B movie.
Yeah.
It's his B team.
And they were Seinfeld writers, too. So they're his writers. Yeah, this seems like it's... My take on this was it's clearly like a parody, right? It's over the top. There's like silly scenarios in it. I think they're trying to walk hard this genre now, the corporate biopic.
I hope that's what it is and that's intentional. That is not clear to me at all from this.
It's super unclear in the trailer.
I was gonna say, yeah. I don't know if that's the case.
Right.
It's definitely a comedy, right? Like, it's not telling the actual true story. It's everybody's, it's
correct.
Heightened reality.
Well, yeah,
shit.
My husband exploded tips it.
Yeah. And that's why I'm like, maybe that's what they're doing. But if they were doing that, the right way to do it is to create a fake product. Dewey Cox is not, that's his name, right? And that,
yeah.
He's not a real person. So, like, you do it, like, it feels like they're trying to have their cake and eat it too, or their Pop-Tart and eat it too, I guess.
Right, because they want to ride this sort of brand worshipping movie wave of, like, Air and Blackberry and Flamin' Hot and all that stuff.
Some of which are apparently good.
Yeah. It's less about, I don't know, some of these, I think, are just getting greenlit because, like, advertising worked. Like, all the advertising that these companies fucking blasted into our skulls while we were growing up as kids has worked, and now we have nostalgia for brands and products. So we'll accept movies that are just about a product being made, and there's, like, no story there. It's just some guy said, hey, let's make some money on this, and it worked.
And they're always looking for new categories to mine, right? Like, based on books, now based on comic books has dominated. Based on video games is picking up. And based on products has become its own subgenre.
Yeah.
Yeah, a really terrible one. And I guess, I think what happens, right, is they put out feelers. They say they want to make a Pop-Tarts movie. Who wants this one? Who wants the Pop-Tarts movie?
And obviously, Jim Gaffigan should get right of first refusal. Obviously. Yeah. Very upsetting that he's relegated to a minor part in this, but okay.
Well, no, isn't that Hot Pockets? Shouldn't he be doing the Hot Pockets?
You're right. It's just a Hot Pocket dessert, Dave. My point stands.
Yeah, no, you're right.
No, he's
in this. Apparently,
it seems firmly in his
Slater.
Wheelhouse. Yeah.
Sarah Cooper's in it. Remember, she does the Trump. She does the Trump.
Fred Armisen.
Kyle Mooney as
so
Snap.
In there. Everyone's in there. Everyone.
Everybody's in it. It's, but... That's all to say that it feels like it's this weird nihilism, right? Where they're like, who wants the Pop-Tart movie? Jerry Seinfeld had an idea of, like, I'm going to make this a comedy. Does it have to actually reflect how it was made or have, you know, like, no, we just need the brand. You just need the brand, right? That's all.
Well, Barbie proved also Barbie made $1 billion. So now people are like, oh, we'll do that. Like, we'll give it a real plot. Like, Barbie did it. Yeah.
Or make it meta or just, as long as Pop-Tarts are a thing. I mean, it's the same. It's, again, for better, for worse, we talked about the Ouija movie sequel where they're like, Mike Flanagan, make anything as long as there's a Ouija board in it.
Appears in it.
And he made something that was a lot of fun. So, like, in a way, if the brands are like, yeah, just put our brand in there and then go nuts, you can make some good stuff there.
You can. Then I would say it's just a roll of the dice. Did you happen to get a good writer with a good idea? It's random.
Yeah.
Some are good and some are not.
Right,
that's all
because,
to say that
because
I,
it's a nothing, there's nothing to it. It's a
there's nothing
idea.
There. It's you fill it well like Barbie did, or and you slap the thing on top of it, or you don't have a good idea and you get Battleship or whatever.
Right. It is literally just brand recognition.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like the better version is to do a comedy.
Yeah. That's always the more honest version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm still not going to watch this. Like,
probably not, because no. I mean, it's hard to. Amy Schumer's a tough sell.
Yeah, I wish it all the best.
Mask off racist.
She sure did.
Like, real bad. And she's all over this trailer, so.
Yeah, she's not great on the internet right now.
I'll take your word for it. No need to unpack.
It's a lot of the Israel-Palestine stuff, if I'm sure.
Yeah.
I do believe.
I think Jerry has some stuff like that on his record as well.
Yeah.
I think he flew over there recently,
mm-hmm.
something like that.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, even if this are comedians that I'm like a fan of, it'd still be a tough sell. I guess I take that back, because that's all there is. Again, it's completely hinged on that,
if
right?
If the jokes in the trailer made me laugh, I would be interested.
Yeah, if it was like, hey, the Always Sunny people are making a Pop-Tarts movie, I'd be like, yeah, absolutely, I'm in.
Right, yeah.
Like, I'm glad they're getting a millions and millions of dollars.
If
and
it
I
was
bet
just a Kyle
really
Mooney
unhinged.
Joint, like written by Kyle Mooney, I would trust him. I'd be like, I'm sure it's something.
Right. But yeah, this, I'm like, ooh, Jerry Seinfeld doing
a
Pop-Tarts
movie.
I don't know.
Michael's pegged it. Like, the only thing that like maybe go like, oh, was seeing Andy Daly in a Quaker oatmeal costume.
I bet that's going to be very funny.
That was
the
one joke that got me. I'm like, oh, he'll do good work with that. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, otherwise, I don't know. And then it's on Netflix, and Netflix has Netflix to me is like, I have a lot of nostalgia for like Kmart, but it feels like Kmart to me, like off brand now, where it's just like, oh, we're going to make this like brightly lit kind of mostly uncinematic kind of movie that we're just sort of cranking out. Like, I don't know. There's like a cheapness in my mind associated with Netflix, even though they have put out some genuinely good movies.
And genuinely expensive movies.
Yes. And then a lot of crap. And so it's just like, when I see the Netflix brand now, I kind of think crap. And I don't think that's fair to the movie itself. It's just the brand has, I don't know. It's just cheapened in my mind.
That's not how I view Netflix, but I guess I see what you're saying.
No, it just
rings
sort of as the standard dominant oldest. It's like attaching nothing to it. I'm pretty open-minded when I see it on Netflix. It means nothing to me.
Yeah, it's still like you said earlier, to me, it's still like kind of a roll of the dice. It's like, well, this could be good or it could be like nothing.
You know what it might be is Netflix comedies tend to be kind of shitty, like, is that right? Am I right about that?
I don't want to say yes
I'd
definitively.
I'd have to crunch the
mental
math one more time.
I mean, movies, not TV.
I've watched a bunch that I have forgotten about for sure, but I don't want to definitively say yes.
They still champion stand-up specials, which is rare these days. Dave Attell's special was lighting up the boards earlier this week, so I like that. But I think they have some good stand-up. Can't think of a lot of their comedy movies, like Okja or what else.
I'm looking. There's When We First Met, Set It Up. I don't even know.
They came
Game
together.
Over
the David Wayne was that.
Oh, Always Game Be Over My Man. Maybe. Murder Mystery. The Do Over. Are any of these ringing a bell?
Not like
Babysitter.
Movies.
Father of the Year.
I liked Murder Mystery okay, but I wouldn't say it's like a great movie.
They made something called Dumplin'. Why did they make something called
Dumplin'?
I remember
that's
with
that
Jennifer Aniston in the
beauty
contest movie.
Christmas Chronicles, which was fun. Again, it's like Ridiculous Six. It's like fairly Coffee and Cream. It's stuff that are either like kind of bad or fairly inoffensive. Okay. I don't know.
I'm into their reality trash right now, man. I'm watching Love is Blind and The Ultimatum France and shit.
Yeah. That's
I guess I need to.
I really
Everybody
like,
is watching that show.
Yeah. I really
match.
Like their like mindless crap. I like the British Bake Off, you know? That shit is it's like morphine. It's great, you know?
Yeah.
Tall Girl? They did Tall Girl. Remember Tall Girl?
They did. They cornered the market on Tall Girl. No, I mean they've done plenty of movies that I enjoyed.
Tall.
It's just
But you're right, mostly not comedies.
Yeah, mostly not comedies. That's fair to say.
I think you've identified a Netflix blind spot, kind of like how Apple TV slays at sci-fi and then the rest is just okay,
right? Which is fine.
It's interesting to see streamers emerge as a thing, or like being better at one genre than another.
It's almost as if we should have channels devoted to these things.
Right.
Let's move
any
on.
Other thoughts on it? Okay. let's move on.
Answers that question.
To Woody Woodpecker goes to camp.
Sure. I love that they keep making these live action Woody Woodpecker movies.
How many?
Somebody's
are
making
there?
Them. There's at least two.
Really? Oh, I haven't.
This
seen
is a
him
sequel.
Before. My thing about Woody Woodpecker is, so cartoon characters of that era boil down to one or two character traits. Like Bugs Bunny is wry or sarcastic. That's his thing always. That's what he does. The Roadrunner out clevers the Woody Woodpecker's. Like has no characteristics that can sustain a movie. I don't get. Is it like Clifford, where we're supposed to be annoyed and bewildered by him?
No,
he comes off
a little,
as a fucking
like
maniac in this.
He's a maniac. When you
think he's Bugs Bunny a little bit. Like he's annoying. I used to watch the cartoon Woody Woodpecker cartoons as a kid, and I from what little I remember, it was like Bugs Bunny, but a little more chaotic.
He's Daffy Duck, kind of.
More hyperactive, like he's having a sugar rush the whole time. Did I get? He's
cocaine.
Almost like the
Bugs
cuckoo
Bunny
for Cocoa Puffs bird.
Yeah, it's like in my mind there was the two cartoon character types. There's the asshole and the maniac.
Yeah,
right.
He's a maniac.
You're
Bugs
Tom
is an
and you're
asshole.
Dave.
Yeah. They're. I forgot what I was gonna say.
Was it about the repetitive edit? Because I
was
thought that
part
was
of
worth
it?
Noting.
It
no,
felt
the,
very...
this trailer was edited like the Serious Man trailer.
Right, like a
have,
horror movie.
Yeah.
Like the looped Woody Woodpecker laughter was like the
is
fucking off-putting. Trailer for like The Collector or something.
Yeah. It's unhinged. It's a truly unhinged. I did like there's... Yeah, it's like literally like the fucking men... fucking trailer.
It sounds
something.
Like a haunting.
They just loop his... Yeah, it does. Yeah. They, I do like the practical effects mixed with the, like, this is the, sadly, the closest we're going to get to that fucking Acme versus
Coyote
movie.
Versus Acme, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I love Roger Rabbit, pulling a Roger Rabbit generally. It's not done enough. I love combining live action.
Like I like that look in this. I also find it still generally haunting that these people are, they seem to be like accepting of this world. And there's like a walrus man. That one's the one that really creeped me out because he's like kind of human. He's kind of fleshy, but he's also kind of a walrus.
Yeah.
And everybody's just acting like this is okay. And it's like, I don't care how long Woody Woodpecker's been in this world. We'd never accept it, right? We'd never accept Woody Woodpecker.
Right. It's like a wild animal in the house. You'd never be completely at ease around him.
No, he's horrifying.
He's too
and
big.
He's
simply too large for what he
is.
Yeah,
he's way too large. Like, yeah, imagine him, like, really being there in front of you. The smells.
Yeah.
You know? It's just
well, and
this
the one kind of
terrifying
bird
thing.
That his main trait is that he pecks hard. Like, he's going he can barely control it. He wants to peck right now.
Yeah. He's horrifying.
Yeah.
That's my point.
One of the more aggressive bird types.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to watch this.
Sure.
We're all going to watch it.
I don't
know
who
really
brought him
this.
To camp.
I don't know, man. It feels like he brought himself to camp. Like I don't know if he's supposed to be there, you know?
Carrying a big baggie of cocaine.
Mm-hmm. Woody Woodpecker. Laziest fucking name for a cartoon character. Mm-hmm. Let's make it a woodpecker.
Why would you let him around those kids, man? He's gonna run off with one of them, bury it or something, like a mountain lion. It's just a wild animal.
Yeah, they're all wild animals. But that was the question. Are they mutants? Like, is it like Bebop and Rocksteady?
Right, like Ninja Turtle mutants.
Yeah, like do they have human brains? Do they know what they are? Are they self-aware? I don't know. I guess I'll have to watch the movie to find out.
Yeah,
you'll
see
have
these
two.
That's how they get you. These are the curiosity traps they were laying with that trailer.
This is can't miss appointment viewing for you, Dave. Report back.
Let's move on.
Bodkin. This is the Will Forte one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very weird cast. It's about podcasters going to a town in Ireland to investigate a murder, and then it becomes like this. I don't know. It looks kind of like Hot Fuzz. Like it looks like the whole town's in on it.
Where they uncover
this cult.
Like, it's they don't want the crime to be solved, and it's all this. Yeah, it seems
it's a TV show.
Yeah, Hot Fuzz, I think you nailed it. It seems weird and spooky and really great. I'm looking forward to watching this. Yeah, definitely.
I agreed with what Tom put in the notes, which is I can't. Will Forte is one of the sketch faces that I can never divorce from a sketch. He infects scenes with sketchiness. Like, I assume it's a sketch if I see, or there's some unreality to it. So yeah. The scenes where you're supposed to take the threat to Will Forte serious, like, I just see, you know, MacGruber.
Right, I'm waiting for the punchline. It's like Fred Armisen.
Or I was going to, yeah, that or like, I think Bill Murray is one like that, right? Where it took a very long time like, to take
you're
him
seriously.
You're
not being sincere, are you? Fred Armisen too. You're like, you're not, wait, oh, you mean it right now. Okay. Yeah. Oh, you're a real character.
That said, he's great in fucking Nebraska. And Nebraska was even earlier where you're like, really? Will Forte? Wow. But yeah, I have the same issue. Although I don't think in this he's supposed to be serious. Like it's
not
it seems
too
like a,
serious, but he is supposed to be a real person, it seems like.
And you're worried about his well-being genuinely at different points. Yeah.
I am so curious about this because it really feels like it is... It's walking a very thin line because it's like we're kind of a thriller. We're kind of weird, but we are funny, but we are grounded as well. And it seems to pull that off. Like it looks good. I want to watch this thing. It looks fascinating. I love a good whodunit as well, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
I don't recognize any of the names behind it, but that's okay.
Yeah,
the premise, what if a true crime podcast got you embroiled in a real crime, is pretty cookie cutter, but the execution looks more interesting than the offer might be.
Yeah, it's cookie cutter, but has anybody done it yet? Because it's one where it's like, oh, of course.
No, it's one where you're like, of course they made that. Should have thought of that.
Yeah. But you're right. Like
It's been an element in other movies, but.
Sure.
Yeah. And that pitch alone.
You get involved in your podcast.
Tusk, yeah.
But this definitely looks like it has more to it in a very fun way. I like the woman who just doesn't care about her beautiful town, where she says, all I see is shit. There's also a line about not trusting horses that really resonated with me
that's
on a deep level.
She sits down. It's like, I know what happened to those missing people. They were attacked by horses.
By horses.
Yeah.
Solid bit. It seems weird in all the right ways for me, so... Even if it the present, even if the premise is a bit trite.
Yeah, they're making up for it for weirdness. It's like, why not be weird? Especially with a premise like this, you know? Mm-hmm. Why not make it weird?
Yeah.
Let's make it weird. Any other thoughts on this?
No, looks good.
We're chugging along, baby.
Mm.
Evil does not exist. That's not a statement.
Comforting.
That's the next, yeah.
It's like Don't Panic on Hitchhiker's Guide.
Right. This has been I kept seeing this trailer and it kept getting bumped, and I'm glad I have it on here now because it starts as one thing and then it becomes another. It's about a town, a village that's becoming like a glamping site, which is, you know, high end camping, and the residents I assume don't want it, and then it just starts becoming like there's clearly a murder. Or something.
Or at least a gunshot in the distance.
Yeah, and then it seemed like vaguely supernatural at the end of the trailer, but I think that might have been anything.
I don't know. I felt like it's too perfect a vibe. I can't watch the movie because I felt so moved just by the trailer. Like, by stuff that could just be a Mad Libs of different touching images or thoughtful images, like an old man pulls a feather from the snow. This movie's too artistic. My God. It looks beautiful. And the, you know, reviews that pop up are like a heartbreaking phantasmagoria.
I just pictured Michael like trying to watch it and like shield. He's like, no!
Choking up. Yeah.
It's too artistic.
Yeah, one calls it
an
eco-fable that
wing.
Ends with a mythical twist, did they say? Or a mythical mic trap?
It looks like there's a bit of an ecology thing, because there's a thing about pollution and how the glamping site is going to trickle downstream to this village and kind of ruin this
pollute their
river
water
that
potentially.
They all depend on. Yeah. Yeah, it seems like it's going to be like a bit of a metaphor with that, and I got a bit of a supernatural vibe too, but not in a way that it's like maybe it could be like an It Comes at Night situation where it's not really a supernatural, but it's like this kind of dread feels like it's building in that direction. I don't know. It looks good. And I still need to watch Drive My Car.
Is that the same? That's the same
filmmaker.
Yeah, I have not seen that either. After watching this trailer, because I didn't know, I had no interest in Drive My Car, and then watching this trailer, I'm like, fuck, man. Like, it's making me want to watch their other things based on how good this trailer is. So that's a good trailer. Like, everybody should check out this trailer. It just looks, I don't know. It looks really fucking good and weird, and I don't know. I'm so curious, because it does, there's something about what's going on in this woods. Like, this woods is creepy in some, I don't know.
Right. Yeah, and I suspect
something going on with
this. I suspect
woods.
Like, the title might be, maybe there's a theme of like, the idea is not, there isn't like a force that makes people evil. It's just the decisions that people make. So it's, the evil doesn't exist. It's just human beings doing things.
Or if it's talking about pollution of the environment, it could be the cumulative effect. Right. Like, you're just living your life, but you're complicit in this thing.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm really cracked it.
Yeah.
Can't skip.
don't need to watch it.
Yeah. Should we talk about this next one?
Yeah.
Terrible name until I realized it was a TV. It's an anthology show.
Yeah.
Them the Scare. So Them, if you remember, Them is a fucking anthology horror series that I completely forgot about. I watched the trailer for that like years ago, and I remember going like, that looks awesome.
Was that about the family that moves into the neighborhood?
Yeah. It's
I remember it. I
don't know if it got bad reviews or what.
Yeah,
but
I didn't
watch it, but I remember
us doing the trailer, I think.
Yeah.
I thought they were revitalizing that classic sci-fi
movie about
the giant ants.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be cool.
I bet that gets remade someday.
It better.
Yeah, that'd be a fun thing to remake, like James Gunn or somebody like that.
Right, use serious facts about ants and turn it into a good, because that old one sucks ass.
Yeah. This is about, it's 1991, it's like right before the LA riots, it's like Seven. Like, it's we see the serial killer, we're seeing like the detective and the killer, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the detective solving these the murders,
but that's more horror-y than murdery or procedurally.
Yes,
like I like that it's, yeah, like American Horror Story intrigued me because I want short horror fiction, and then it's okay season by season. Yeah, but so I would have high hopes for this, and it looks like it might deliver.
Yeah, it looks pretty fun. I'm curious if it's the same actors in every season like American Horror Story. Ooh, mm-hmm. It's got Alison Pill in it. She's a maniac. I love her in things because she just plays sociopath. They, like, the casting director saw her and said, like, oh, you're a sociopath. You're always going to be a sociopath in everything we put you in.
Yeah, she was great in Devs.
And so it goes. As the sociopath.
Yeah. I like the idea of setting a horror movie like this on like the verge of the LA riots.
A very good tension.
Yeah, and I like the idea of doing like a Seven that it seems like it might be supernatural. So like a genuinely supernatural version of Seven. Sort of True Detective vibe. It looks good. I'm into this.
I love a good gritty detective thing, and I think
it's like catnip for me.
Yeah, and like nothing grits it more than admitting that cops suck, you know, like that's like,
that's usually where they start.
Yeah. That's what I love about like The Wire, where you're like, oh, I love these guys. Oh God, they're beating a suspect in custody. All right. I forgot for a second that they're cops. Thanks for reminding me, The Wire. Like I don't know. I love, you know, that mix, and it's great for a horror movie. It's just a great environment. I think police work in general is good for a horror movie, because it's like, oh, why do you go in that spooky house? Because it's their job. Mm-hmm. Like, they're compelled to do the things that most people wouldn't in a horror movie. So it's like they have to do the things. And that helps it along.
And there's a horrifying element to a murder mystery. There's like the thriller element.
Yeah, because murder's scary.
Yeah, because it's all spooky. Nobody wants to get stabbed.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Speaking of spookies, Dead Boy Detectives.
Yeah.
This I don't know about you guys, but this was I had written this off based off the name, and this is probably the biggest difference between like what I expected in the name versus what I saw in the trailer, because like this actually looks pretty fun. Like, it's obviously not for me. It's for like tweens, or I would say even older, because it's very spooky. It's spookier than I expected.
See,
it's got some gore in there.
And the first moment really put me off. I don't have a lot of bully in me, but if someone came up to me and said, in any context, "Allow me to welcome you to the Dead Boy Detective Agency," I'm punching them in the face. Like, yes. I don't know why. I'm just inexplicably beating them.
No,
about
it's
the
awful.
Head and neck.
Just like, they hand you their little card, and Michael's like, "That's it for you, Jack."
Yeah, and it's just aggressively not for me, which is fine, of course. But to me, it felt very like the humor level felt very Marvel, like very broad movie jokes that are guaranteed hits, quote unquote, every time.
Would it help you to learn that the creator of this is a longtime writer and executive story editor of Supernatural?
Yeah.
Is
okay.
that better
that
or
tracks.
Worse? Better
no,
or worse.
That, it's right on. It's rated. It's cap. No cap. I'm just still learning that one.
I think to me, this just felt very Buffy to me, where it's like, again, bad name, silly premise, but it gave me Buffy vibes, or at least what I assume Buffy is, because I haven't watched Buffy.
Buffy is fairly cheesy looking back at it.
Yeah. Where
it feels cheesy.
It's cheesy shit for teens, but it's also like, teens aren't dummies. Let's make some genuinely freaky looking shit. And like, this had some freaky looking shit in it, you know, had like boogies.
Has a decent effects budget for sure.
Yeah.
Well, because Neil Gaiman also brings the money, brings the show.
Yes, it's based off of his work.
Yeah.
Isn't so a Sandman spinoff? It seemed like maybe
probably.
It was. Is
I mean, it's the world of comics,
head?
So I wouldn't be surprised if everything connects. That's very
gotcha.
Common.
Yeah. Yeah, it has to be, right? Like, this is a world where I look at it and go, there's a Sandman in this world, right? Mm-hmm. There's a Sandman
probably somewhere.
Around.
Yeah.
There's some American gods wandering around.
Yeah, somewhere in
there. This is one of those shows where I'm like, it's like kind of a shame in my head, because I'm like, I bet this show would be huge in the 90s. And now it might last a season on Netflix. Like, there's no guarantee that people actually find it.
Yeah.
But I feel like if you're like some goth teen, you'd love this shit. Right?
It is interesting to think how much storytelling has sophisticated itself, in the sense that our version of this was Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Right.
Like, it's like looking at toys that your kids get to play with and go, man, we didn't have shit. Like, that's like a flying drone.
That's a robot. Yeah. Yeah.
This thing does your homework for you.
Mm-hmm. There was another trailer I was saying this about, how cool it must be to be a teen now.
Yeah.
Where they're like, here's this like CGI, here's like the most amazing fucking thing you've ever seen, or that I ever saw in the 90s when I watched Jurassic Park. Like, here's like 12 TV shows that's that.
Right.
Like,
or like
this,
Guardians
like, incredible...
of the Galaxy. If I think of if I was 15 watching that, how mind blowing it would be.
Right. Like, yeah, when I was a kid, I was watching fucking. You know,
I mean, Jurassic Park, not too shabby.
Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, there were some good stuff. But then there was also those like crap where you're like, okay, I'll make this work. I'll squint. If I squint, this looks
CG
good.
CG especially,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was 15 in 1998. So there was a lot of,
Yeah, you're watching Spawn like, all right. I can make this
work. Okay, small soldiers. All right.
Yeah, I'll figure it out. Jumanji, sure.
I was
watching
the animated Spawn on HBO, which was the one with full nudity, weirdly.
Huh. That is weird.
And the Haunted House
like
intros
this...
by Todd McFarlane.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty sweet. I don't know. I just think this looks fine. I think it looks like if you're a goth teen, you'll love it.
Sure. Yeah, I got nothing against
it. You'll gobble
it
up. Yeah. Yeah. Should we talk about this next one?
Sure.
All right, this is Cuck 00.
Double O Cuck.
The very first one, yeah.
Yeah.
Licensed to be cucked.
Yeah. No, it's the full trailer for Cuckoo with Dan Stevens.
Woo!
This is like currently in a neck and neck race with Longlegs and a few others of like the most, the thing I'm most excited for.
See, I have a sneaking suspicion Longlegs will be all packaging and then be like fine. I expect big things out of Cuckoo. Cuckoo looks incredible. I hope this is not a big letdown because I'm very, very excited. It has the Woody Woodpecker thing, which is what I'll call it from now on. It also does like a driving singular repetitive sound. I think line.
I got to watch this director's first film, Luz, which is only an hour and 10, which is like, aw. But like, I hope I can watch it because this, just the trailer had these moments where I'm just like, wow, that is a new thing to scare me. Like the bike
chase,
shot.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Like seeing her shadow and then seeing the shadow behind her. Yeah. And just being like, oh fuck. Yes. That is that. Like, it's so great when a new thing like that happens where you're like, that is freaky as shit. And they look freaky. Like, I wanted to freeze frame some of these shots.
And she looks like a very unique and dynamic horror protagonist. Like, she's interesting immediately, the main character.
Yeah, it's Hunter Schafer.
Hunter Schafer.
What's her deal?
I think she's on Euphoria.
Oh, okay.
Oh, they're all on Euphoria.
I think so.
Euphoria is spawning a lot of careers. They're on Euphoria, yeah.
But yeah, I love her presence. She's very unique for a horror protagonist.
Yeah. And I love that Dan Stevens is like,
just being like a little weirdo, man. He's in like,
and that's like
five
his career
movies
now.
Right now, being a weird little creep.
He's like, I'm going to be the more handsome Jeffrey Combs. I'm just going to be this weird little freak and everything.
I love that. That's what he decided for himself.
I know, but that's what it feels like. Mm-hmm. It's it's very exciting seeing him in this. This is, man. Everybody watch this full trailer. It is just. It's so good.
We haven't really said what it's about. It's just this family moving out to, I guess, a cabin, and there's also some sort of institute or health center nearby that seems to be run by mad scientist Dan Stevens, and all sorts of odd goings on start occurring.
Her family's part of some cult, right?
It seems like they're coming out there to join his little center,
right? And they're more into it. There's the part, yeah, where she says that's a fucking weird way to put it, is great. And it's hard to tell what, like, it feels like he's doing experiments on people or something. Like, there's some sort of lab.
It's unclear.
And then there's like monsters also there. You know what it feels to me? It feels like a fucking like a Jordan Peele premise, where you're like that's what I love about Peele, is like his movies are not like, and it's a ghost. It's like, it's underground doppelgangers. It's like so weird.
It's weird.
Like,
yeah. It's an alien that looks
UFO.
Like a spaceship. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Like, I love that he's like, I'm going to invent new things. You know, like, and this feels like that too, where it's like what I'm seeing, it's not a zombie, it's not like a ghost, but there's something. It's something fucking wrong with these little freaks. I don't know what they are. And I love that. It just looks really, really compelling.
Yeah, I'm into it.
And I need a horror movie right now. I feel like there hasn't been I don't know. I've been kind of looking around for one right now. And this... When is this coming out? Do we know?
I don't remember if it's said in the trailer. I would assume it comes out fairly soon.
It better. Let me see.
It knows what's good for it.
I know. It's already got IMDb ratings. I don't know how that's possible. I assume maybe it... You know, August 9th, you motherfuckers.
That's too far away.
A third of a year.
Yeah.
How dare they?
All right. Put it on the back burner for now. I'm excited for that new Omen, though. That's getting good reviews.
The first one?
The first Omen. Yeah. I'm going to see that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm interested
it.
In that thing they did where they. I really, for a second, thought it was a re-release of The Omen, because they used all the right lenses and everything. It looks like it's from the 70s.
Oh, the new one? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that one, I think they have the right idea with that one. I can see that one working out, but I'll find out soon enough, I guess.
Yeah.
You guys want to talk about Yannick?
Man, I'd love to talk about Yannick.
This guy cranks out so many movies, and they're all weird. This is the director of Deerskin and Rubber and Wrong and what that fly one, Mandibles.
Oh, I didn't know he was so prolific.
I forgot about Mandibles.
Yeah, he's like French. He makes the weirdest fucking movies. I've only actually seen Rubber. I need to see his others.
I really wanted to see Deerskin and Mandibles, yeah.
Yeah, Deerskin, if I remember, is just a guy obsessed with his deerskin jacket. He makes these movies that are about really silly things.
Well, but it's like it's Jean Desjardins, right? And it's
it's Quentin Dupuis.
I mean in Deerskin.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
And it's like the jacket makes him a murderer or something. I don't know. We got to see it. But anyway, this is Yannick.
Yannick, this is another great premise, which is a guy watching a play holds them at gunpoint to do his play instead.
It's an episode of Bob's Burgers, I believe. Yeah. The Robert does that to them. But yeah, it looks like, I mean, I feel like I wrote this as a one-act play in high school, but it was about an assembly. It's like, it's the most transparent way to comment on storytelling itself, right? He's going to become, right, by force, the director of a play. It has to be about storytelling or filmmaking or something, right?
I assume, yeah. This guy does make meta stuff. This movie, it's only an hour and 7 minutes, which I think is why he cranks them out so fast.
That has something to do with it.
Because he makes, like, they're fairly short.
It basically is
an
episode of a horror anthology or something.
Yeah, and this probably, I assume, could also be a stage play. Mm-hmm. It's a great idea for a stage play.
Yeah, plant in the audience.
Yeah. I feel like you'd have to put
up
some
notices. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's as far as we know, and it looks fun.
Yeah, it looks like an indie movie from the 90s, like an early, like a House of Yes era indie movie.
Jeez, he makes House those. He makes like fucked up movies. God, I love House of Yes. What a great movie. What a delightful trick to play on an audience. Come see Freddie Prinze Jr. and Park Capozzi in a teen young adult romp. Come get fucked up.
Yeah,
I love it when they do that.
Sister menage.
And they I love it because you've seen the trailer for it, right? The trailer makes it look like it's fun.
Oh no, I haven't.
The trailer
highly misleaning.
The trailer tries to dance around it.
Yeah.
Yes. It reminds me of Rules of Attraction was another one where when I saw that movie, like the trailer made it look like a college comedy, but it literally says from the writer of American Psycho in the trailer. And I'm like, well, that's not going to be a college comedy. You're lying, aren't you? And I went and saw it in a theater and the audience cleared out during that movie so fast because it was all just teenagers who are like, it's Dawson. And it's like, yeah, you're not going to like this version of Dawson. What are we talking about? House of Yes?
We're talking about House of Yes, yeah.
By way of Yannick, yeah.
By way of Yannick. The new film from the director of Rubber. Check out the trailer. Looks good. Yep.
The guy's name, it's just a guy named Yannick. I don't know. I love it when a movie is just the guy's name. It's like, look at this guy.
Yep.
He's a real problem.
It's the story of Yannick.
Yeah,
taking over a play because he wants him to do it better.
Yeah. All right. I was holding off for this last trailer because we only have a fucking teaser, and I thought surely we'd have a full trailer. But I feel like this was rushed because of the Oscars.
I think you're right. Yeah.
I feel like they were like, "Give us some footage, and we'll make something." Kinds of Kindness. This is another Yorgos film who just did.
He's
Poor
pumping
things.
Them out, baby.
Poor Things.
Yeah.
I was so happy to see Jesse Plemons in this because I'm like,
give
me that weird.
Yeah, you know how YouTube tracks viewership or like minute, second by second, who's viewing what? There is a mountain peak right on the title card that says Jesse Plemons. Everyone wanted to confirm that.
The still image you can see often is the main... fucking what's her name? She was just in Driveaway Dolls and she was great in it.
Margaret Qualley.
Yeah, she's fantastic in Driveaway Dolls. And Willem Dafoe just cuddling Jesse Plemons and what it looks like in the still. And it's like, oh yeah, give me that. I want that so bad.
I have yet to see any of Yorgos's movies. Lanthimos, I fucked it up.
Yorgos Lanthimos? I don't know.
I haven't
seen
The Favorite.
I didn't
see The Favorite. I saw The Great. which is the same writer. Yeah. I didn't see Killing of a Sacred Deer.
I saw that. I haven't seen any of his movies. That was quite good.
Freaking neat.
Yeah.
To.
So I have seen The Lobster, The Favorite, and Poor Things, and I liked The Favorite and Poor Things. That is by the same writer. I have to point out this one is from the writer of The Lobster, the movie I did not like. So this will be the final test for me. Like, I've been doing it like science, where I'm like, okay, what pieces of his films do I like and don't like? Because I loved Poor Things. Poor Things is so much fun. Like, The Favorite was good, but Poor Things...
I love The Favorite, man. Olivia Colman. Oh, my God.
Oh, she makes that. But, like, Poor Things to me was like, this is... I'm so happy this is what movies can be. You know,
well,
like,
then Killing
I love...
of a Sacred Deer brought us Barry Keoghan, right? So he's got a good eye for talent, if nothing else.
And like
Lanthimos is his last name.
Lanthimos. Yorgos Lanthimos. And like, I love that he does such weird things with cinematography, that he's sort of has that feeling like, well, who says I have to make a thing a certain way? I'm scared he's going to Wes Anderson himself, in that he'll just become more and more of a parody of himself. Does that make sense?
I suppose, but he
borders on Twee a little bit in the way he makes movies.
It would be harder to impersonate him than it would be to, because it cracked, right? We were always trying to do genre alikes or look alike, sound alikes for various directors or styles. And I think I'd have a harder time making a parody of Yorgos than a parody of Wes.
You do wide fisheye lenses, fisheye, or even like the little like button hole lenses, like spy camera shots. Mm-hmm. He does change from like black and white to color. You know,
yeah, I still see Gondry or Wes Anderson as more. He's some
one
range.
Of them.
No, okay.
Yes, no, I agree. He's one of them.
Yeah,
and what I'm saying is that I'm scared that he's going to lose that range.
Sure.
I'm scared that he's going to just start becoming kind of a copy of a cop. Like right now, he's so fresh and so. I don't know. He's making such neat stuff. Even the stuff I don't like, I'm
shot of him
I really like
dancing
how it's
in the
made.
Parking lot. I'm like, that's a cool image. I don't even need the context.
Oh, yeah. He loves some Emma Stone dancing like a maniac.
Yeah. Just shaking around.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm pretty excited about this director. I think he's going to be around for a very long time.
Yeah.
And this.
Yeah, I gotta bone up on his filmography, man. I've missed all of his films.
I'm curious to know, Tom, what you're gonna, because I don't know. I don't think is he the kind of guy that you either love or hate? Because I'm finding that he varies for me, and I'm just curious to see how it works. Because like most people just seem to like his work across the board, right?
I'm the same as you in that The Lobster didn't engage me for whatever reason. But other than that, for me, it's 3 out of 4 have been killer.
I should watch Killer of a Sacred Deer. That'll actually be the tiebreaker now. Well, actually, Poor Things was the tiebreaker. So that's all to say that he's more hits than misses with me. So,
word?
Yeah. I know this. I bet this is going to be fucking awesome. What's
probably
it about?
I have no idea.
Oh, it's the teasiest of teases. Yeah, we don't know anything.
So, according to the IMDb synopsis, a man seeks to break free from his predetermined path. A cop questions his wife's demeanor after her return from a supposed drowning, and a woman's quest to locate an extraordinary individual prophesies to become a renowned spiritual guide.
Oh, fuck
so
yeah.
I think it's
fuck me right up with whatever that is.
It's multiple stories. It's going to be multiple stories overlapping. Yeah, I'm into it. I'm really, Jesse Plemons is like,
he's the guy
right
now.
He's such a good actor. But he's also, he plays such weird little freaks all the time that he always feels like...
Well, it all started with Todd, right? Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad.
Right. Childlike sociopath.
He always feels like he's under duress, like he doesn't want to be in the movie. Does that make sense? Where he's just like, he always feels like he's not quite into it. And I love that about him.
Yeah.
It's interesting. He's so funny in Game Night and... such a good villain in like Breaking Bad and USS Callister.
Fucking Fargo, he was good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's great in Fargo.
He's always good. I can't wait to see his like 3-minute scene in Civil War.
Yeah, Yeah.
Because it's like clearly the only scene he's in.
You've already
feels
seen
like,
half of it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. From yeah. Every, yeah, it's I saw that little interview clip where Kirsten Dunst is like, he basically did it as a favor to me.
Right, they're married.
Yeah.
Should we thank some more producers?
We should, yeah.
Big old thank you to David Knife Boop,
Knife Boop.
Henson.
Thank you.
Thank you to Deborah is awesome, Barbara is great, and Cancer Can Go to Hell.
Thank you.
Thank you to Dracula, the bus driving vampire.
Thank you.
Thank you to Driftless, God Emperor of Hype. Thanks you. Thanks you for watching Lair of the White Worm. Got
You're
it.
Welcome.
Thank you to Ed Nugg.
Thank you
to Exploding Runes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you to Funky J Mostly comes out at night mostly.
Thank you.
Thank you to Heathcliff's Helping Handfuls.
Thank you.
Thank you to Highlander, likes the way Tom says pretty sweet. We all do. Thank you to Hombre.
Thank you.
Thank you to ImpossibleWorlds.net. Issue 3 is out now. Gorge yourself on our fiction gorge.
Thank you.
I always read that as George. George yourself.
George. I'm going to George myself on distant sci-fi fiction. Let me jump in here. Thank you to Jay the Crow Baron says, build a guillotine in rich people's yard 2024.
Thank you.
Thank you to Krishanovich.
Thank you.
Thank you to Lieutenant Frank Drebin, Police Squad.
Thank you.
Thank you to Look Mime on a podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you to Mackenzie Fuck Shuffling with Willem Dafoe's Confusingly Large Dick Chill.
Thank you.
Thank you to Mercurial Oz.
Thank you.
Thank you to Mike the Hell Diver.
Thank you.
Thank you to Mongolian Throat Skanking.
Thank you.
Thank you to Mr. Tell Your Wife How Many Patreon Subscriptions You Have Before You Agree to Buy a House.
Thank you.
And thank you to musical guest Henry Garfield.
Thank you. All right. Big story. Everybody's talking about it.
It's on everyone's
Benedict
lips.
Benedict Cumberbatch. Yep. Benedict Cumberbatch and Olivia Colman are making a War of the Roses remake.
It's a solid cast for a remake of this movie.
It's kind of the only reason I'd see it where I'm like, oh, those two? Absolutely.
Yeah, as I just alluded to, Olivia Colman will always get my butt in the seat, period. Ever
yeah.
since Peep
yeah.
Show.
Jay Roach is making it. What'd he do?
He did a couple of them Ace Venturas, but he also did like Spotlight. No, not Spotlight. Shit.
How many
the,
Ace Venturas
Roger,
did
the
he
Roger
do?
Ailes one.
Oh, Bombshell.
Yes.
How many fucking, you mean, oh, you mean Austin Powers?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
I was
Austin
like,
Powers.
How many Ace Venturas are there?
You're right.
You're right. You're right. I'm sorry. It was another comedy movie about a delightful character beginning with the letter A.
He also did Trumbo, which is all to say that he can do zany comedy and kind of serious stuff.
Yeah, he's done both.
He did Dinner for Schmucks.
And this one's so, very serious, like brutal, right? Or... the only thing I learned about it is that the original was directed by Danny DeVito, and that's giving me a real weird read.
It's a dark comedy. It's like a black okay. comedy.
Okay. Yeah. But it is making fun of their brutal, because it's about a divorce, a messy divorce.
It's about
right?
a divorce
that,
premise. Yeah, and it escalates. Like it starts
out
bad, and it just escalates on both. Like they're both maniacs.
Gotcha.
So, you know who's writing it? The writer of The Favorite and Poor Things.
Well,
ooh,
yeah, the person we were just talking about.
Yeah.
So there you go. And The Great.
Yeah.
It's they're calling it The Roses because it's the gritty remake. You know,
there's two twisters now, see?
Yeah, exactly.
twisters, see?
I also noticed that Jay Roach has signed on for Austin Powers 4. So,
ooh.
You know, everybody get ready for that.
Yeah.
It's going to be great, right? It's going to be great. All of them are great. They're all great movies, so, you know.
Yeah.
Gold member.
Gold member. Mm.
Spies shag me. So this is going to be Benedict Cumberbatch and Olivia Colman just fighting, right? Just being shits to
just,
each other.
Yeah. Ruining each other's days.
I don't actually remember the original.
Nope.
I know.
It's, I mean.
Dougie's in there.
I thought I did, but I'm thinking of Kramer versus Kramer.
Oh, that's a very different movie. Yeah. The fact that it's directed by Danny DeVito, if you are like familiar with his other movies, should give you like a hint of its tone. Like Throw Mama from the Train or like Drowning
oh,
Mona
yeah.
or
okay. Yeah, Throw Mama was a Comedy Central
so lightly nightmarish.
Favorite.
Yeah.
Death to Smoochie.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So pitch black comedies. Got it.
Mm-hmm.
He's great at those. God, yeah. I love me
almost
some Danny
Bobcat
DeVito.
Goldthwait. vibe.
Very nearly in some of these, yeah. Throw Mama from the Train doesn't get that dark. Nobody actually dies in it.
Smoochie, though.
No.
Smoochie.
Smoochie. Fucking Mr. Daniel DeVito. He is every era he manages to
survive
some bangers.
Yeah, he's like entertainment.
I've been rewatching. Yeah, I've been rewatching Always Sunny, and it's like, my God, what a fucking star.
What a man.
Yeah, he's been...
Strip him in his underwear and put him in that fucking playground.
Have him gargle beer foam, yeah.
Yeah.
It's absolutely wild that he's like been consistently acting in things like regularly since the Taxi, since the 1970s.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, in a way where it's he's always a hit.
And always like, adding to the project, right. Like he always brings like, something to the table.
When was Death to Smoochie? That was like the 2000s when everything was awful.
I think, yeah, or early aughts.
Yeah,
that's
when everything sucked. And like he still managed to make like an amazing dark comedy. 2002.
was not well liked at the time.
No, I mean, we just 9/11.
Most
it
of his
was,
movies
no one...
were not well received at the time.
No. Has Jon Stewart with a Caesar cut. Remember that?
I do,
Yeah. What a great movie.
Incredible film. What's the next story we got here?
Just a little update on the last Indiana Jones and how it lost $130 million on its $387 million budget. Maybe they won't make another.
I mean, that's an absolutely bonkers amount of money to spend on a movie. There is something, I think Jeff brought
especially
this up
in this movie
recently. But they also make these movies to like sell merchandise and to like move old DVDs and, you know, move all Indiana Jones stuff. So I wonder how much of that they're going to like, cause there's a new video game coming out. Like I wonder
I can't
how
imagine
much they,
it was a...
I still, I mean, they, that's almost half a fucking $1 billion mm-hmm. on a movie. But I wonder how much of it, like that stuff that never gets reported, you know, cause that's
just surge in general indie interest.
Right. Like that's why they keep making like those Michael Bay Ninja Turtles movies that didn't do great, but they made more than one because every time they put them out, they sell turtle stuff and turtle
DVDs.
A
lot of plastic.
And, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, take that money and spend it on the game that's coming out. I hope that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, let's see. It looks like it's from the people who made The Last Wolfenstein. They know killing Nazis, so damn, that might, I hope that's good.
Those games like, were pretty fun.
Yeah, that original, I want to say NES or SNES Indiana Jones, the one where you pick the Grail and the fight on the tank.
Yeah, his greatest adventures.
That was a great game. That was great at the time.
You guys
so
ever
like,
play the point and click, Fate of Atlantis? Super good.
No, is that, is it good?
Oh yeah,
so
Indiana Jones, Fate of Atlantis, classic.
Indiana Jones makes good games, weirdly enough. It's one where I'm like, in my head, I'm like, you can't get a good Indiana Jones game, can you?
Why not? It's such an obvious premise for a game.
That's what I mean. Like, in my head, I think it's because games based on movies tend to be bad.
Right.
But yeah, this is all the same. I'm very excited for the game.
Yeah. We should move
Never
on.
Never
going to
watch that movie again.
It won't make $250 million back, but sure.
No.
God, I
probably
can't.
Probably cost another $250
million. Dude, an Indiana Jones Metroidvania where he's going through a tomb is not a bad idea at all.
That's an awesome idea.
No,
it's kind of what Spelunky
like
is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give me an Indiana Jones driving game. You know how he famously drives around?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Uncharted is an Indiana Jones game, essentially.
That is true.
And it's quite good.
Yeah, it's quite good. Yeah, but this is all to say, like, next time, listen, Disney, next time you're like, let's make another blank movie, just come to us. Just call one of us, and we can tell you, no, it won't make money.
Publish Tom's book. It's cheaper.
Yeah. They're making a new Matrix movie. On a related note, they're making a new Matrix movie from the director of fucking Cabin in the Woods and Bad Times at El Royale.
Drew Goddard. Yeah.
Yeah. Did that last one? It went straight to streaming, didn't it?
It had the dual release. It came out that year where Warner Brothers was doing the dual release of things in theater and on HBO for like 4 weeks for like a limited time shared window.
It made... All right, its budget was $190 million. It made $159 million.
Yeah.
And they're like, let's make another baby.
I mean,
and
the pandemic.
In that rich vein.
Yeah.
I get that the pandemic, but also it was made so bitterly.
Right.
It was such a bitter movie.
It's a movie literally about not, please don't make another Matrix movie. That's right. What it's about. Right. Sorry,
it felt like a New York Times op-ed about the Matrix.
Yeah.
Just processing.
It was so tired.
Okay, you really shouldn't make another Matrix movie, but if you did, this is how you could do it. It's kind of like what the movie's saying.
Yes. And also, I don't fully agree with the movie. I agree. So I think what happened, right, is what's happening is Warner Brothers said, you have to make a Matrix movie. And the Wachowskis were like, oh, we can reach back to the Animatrixes. We can do this lore. And they're like, no. It's got to have Neo in it and all the cast. And it's like, oh, well, that story is done.
Harrison Ford, for some reason, has to be in it. He's like 98 years old.
Yeah. And that's what it comes down to is like, they won't make, you could make more Matrix movies the way you can make more Star Wars movies. Yeah. They just don't want to do that.
Correct.
They're like, no, it needs Neo. And it's like, no, it's a whole world. They built a whole world.
Yeah.
Use the world, you jackasses.
All in on the Merovingian, man. Just a full 3-film saga from the Merovingian's point of view. That's what I'm about.
It's an interesting character. Yeah.
I think part of this, I wonder if Fantastic Beasts scared them from this idea of like, let's do something in the same world. You know what I mean? Because Fantastic Beasts is technically that. But even Fantastic Beasts, I'm pretty sure it's still around Voldemort, right?
It still connects directly to the main story and the main characters, yeah.
But I wondered if that was a... No, they did that even in the first
one. The Dead
one.
Boy
yeah, no.
Detectives, whatever, doesn't belabor its connection to the existing property. There you
exactly.
go.
Exactly. But, like, the real lesson is that Fantastic Beasts is bad and they should have done a better job or not made those because they were based off, like, a 20-page book.
It's always that. They're always analyzing, well, in the fiscal landscape, why did... Was it a housing bubble? And you're like, your movie was bad.
Yeah, you made a bad movie.
That.
And they're like, no more world building movies. It has to, if we're gonna make another Matrix, it has to be Neo. Because I guarantee that's the conversation, right?
That I mean, they made it. That was made as plain as it could be made in the most recent Matrix film.
Yeah, but I
they
mean,
almost
for this
have
new
that
one.
Scene. This new one, we don't know anything about it. So in fairness, like we don't know if anybody's coming back. It could be what you're describing. Like maybe they are. Allowing
maybe
they're doing the clean slate relaunch with just like Matrix
maybe they
stories.
Finally, I hope they finally figured that out. I just don't trust it. Like, I don't know. There's that conversation where Disney went to Marvel. They're like, can you bring back like Iron Man? And they're like, no, fuck's sake. Like, they're always, they don't care, right? The executives don't care.
No.
They will bring back characters as many times as they want. And they don't, they're just looking at numbers and they're not learning anything. They're not watching these movies. Like, I don't know. I feel like the person who greenlit the last Matrix probably didn't watch this Matrix. Like, they're not, I don't know. They don't think that way. It's clear that they don't like movies and they don't care. So I'm just not, based off that last Matrix, I'm like, well, if this is still the executives making it, I have no faith in this because this was like embarrassing. Like, it was as good as it could be, that last
Which
Matrix.
It turns out not very good.
Yeah, it was so forgettable. Like, I've completely forgotten that movie existed. I liked it when it came out, but I remember it being, like, so blatantly, like, this is nothing.
I worked
you know?
The
like,
premiere.
This is...
I shook Keanu Reeves's hand on the red carpet.
What did it feel like?
Nothing. A day at work for IGN.
His hand. What does his hand feel like? His hand.
Oh.
Describe it.
Clammy and... psychologically abusive, but you know, that's just my take.
That's what I assumed he would feel like.
It felt like someone on set flipping out for no reason. But
does
I'm
he
not
do
trying
that?
To start any rumors. No. He's famously the nicest man on earth next to Alex Schmitty.
Because like if he flipped out on set, he knows kung fu and shit.
That's
he'll
right.
like He would like,
he would literally
you know,
flip
throw
out.
A grip. Yeah, he would throw a grip through
just
a window.
Wires
and
shit.
He just
flipped from nowhere.
He would just flip out.
He has his wire.
He
people.
Has his own wire guy that follows him around.
Yeah, listen. Good luck to fucking. It's also Cabin in the Woods and El Royale, two movies I liked. I don't see that. Like, I'm like, really, this person making the Matrix? Like, I wish him the best. I like those movies, but those movies are kind of tongue in cheek, you know.
Yeah.
And the Matrix is. one of the funniest things about The Matrix is how serious it takes itself.
It has to take itself grim dark seriously, or it doesn't. It's not true to the brand.
Yeah, I'm scared it's going to try to laugh at itself, and I'm like, no, we laugh at you, Matrix.
Matrix is not
we
Deadpool.
Laugh at you.
Yeah, you stop that.
It's a house of cards, Matrix.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't pull on that thread. But like you said, Tom, we don't know anything.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
It could be anything at this point.
Yeah. It could never happen. It could not happen.
That is also a distinct possibility. Yeah. It could fall the way of so many Star Wars projects.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Should we thank some more producers?
Yes.
I will begin the thanking of producers, starting with No One Can Hear You Scream in Space McNulty. Thank you. Thank you to Norm from Cheers.
Thanks.
Thank you to Pete Forpagel.
Thank you.
Thank you to Numenol Ultra Microscopic Silicol Volcano Coniosis Anti-Disestablishment Terrianism Jones.
Thank you.
Thank you to pre-order Jason Parkinson's new book so he can keep making big feats.
Thank you.
Thank you to Psychic Bigfoot. Mm. Thank you to RevMD.
Thank you.
Thank you to Ricky Cilantro.
Thank you so much.
Thank you to Rosemary's Baby from Eraserhead.
Thank you.
Thank you to Screaming Horse Pyramid.
Maybe that's what attacked those people in Botkin
or
whatever.
That's what did it. Thank you to Sorry Cop, world's most laughable centrist.
Thank you.
Thank you to Steven.
Thank you so much.
Thank you to the conveniently placed self-destruct button on the top of every baby's head.
Thank you. All right, let me jump in here. Thank you to the ghost of Dave Thomas.
Thank you.
Thank you to the Midnight Patron. What patrons at midnight?
Thank you.
Thank you to the Oatmeal Savage.
Thank you.
Thank you to the 2B Terror Bunny says the strikes may be over, but egg David Zaslav for fun and profit.
Thank you.
Thank you to these 7Bs.
Thank you.
Thank you to Tiger Drawers Pratt Thompson. Raindrops keep falling on my head.
Thank you.
Thank you to Tip Drizzle.
Thank you.
Thank you to Tux.
Thank you, Tux.
Thank you to Vincent.
Vincent.
Thank you to
thank
Why Don't You Take a Flying Fuck at the Moon?
Oh, thank you.
Thank you to Yorgos from the island of Crete. Excuse me.
Thank you.
And last but not least, thanks to your mom.
Thanks.
Couldn't have done it without you.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Speaking of Dave. Mm.
Yeah, I'm
before Dave. we can't leave without you.
Or
giving
your mom.
Us a movie that deserves more hype.
Oh, it's like I have the power.
Yeah.
It's like I have all the power in this,
you do,
in this
yeah.
situation.
You're like Grayskull.
I am. God, I am.
I've often said that about you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I do. Sorry, I do have a movie that deserves more hype. I'm checking now.
Mm.
And I do. It's called The Wait. What is this? I forgot what this is. Oh, shit.
Hyped
it's
as the best language horror movie of the year and the sleeper hit of 2023.
Well, no, there's a broken link now. That's weird.
Oh, gotcha.
Listen, it's in festivals right now. It's a Western. It's about a guy. I think it's a Mexican film. A guy who's recruited to be a groundskeeper at an estate. And in doing so, he has this kid who he's teaching to hunt. And it feels like what he's doing is somewhat shady. They don't really quite explain it in the trailer, but it's apparently a very slow burn. I'm almost certain the son dies as a result of his shady dealings. Mm-hmm. And then
well,
he just
says
sort
it's
of,
all about guilt and regret. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it felt like there was like a little dead kid in the, I don't know. And so it gets supernatural. It's a slow, I think it's
I
a psychological order.
Sorry.
Yeah. It's giving me the, yeah.
He's
it's
in his dead kid era.
There's this, that like these, the first half, there's this clear feeling of impending doom. And then the second half, like one of the reviews says, the space grows increasingly hostile, showing teeth and oozing blood quite literally at times. So like his surroundings become like, as he gets more guilty and are feeling more guilt and gets more bitter, mm-hmm. his surroundings just get worse, get
fleshy,
more like supernaturally.
Perhaps?
Yeah.
It also says his life becomes a living hell, which is always, to me, tips supernatural.
Yeah, it's folk horror. This is the genre where it's like, it's clearly about this guy's guilt manifesting in this like supernatural
Devil's Backbone
way.
Vibes.
Yeah, whether or not it's real or not.
But also a heartbreaking family drama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's all those things. Like, it's a slow burn, but it's also sad. And then it's also a horror movie.
But wait, it'll make you want to kill yourself. And it's sad.
Yeah. What'd you guys
scary
think?
Too.
Man, it looks intense. And
it does.
Reading the write-up too, like apparently the land itself starts turning evil and gnarly and like body horror. It looks intense and it sounds intense. I'm into it.
Yeah, I'm into it. The wait.
Yeah. Kind of reminded me of some of the tenser parts of There Will Be Blood, which is not a bad comparison.
No, not at all.
Yeah. It was like a little bit of When Evil Lurks vibes, slightly.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's going to be a bummer.
Yeah. It's going to be a real bummer.
It's going to be cruel.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, that's what I'm getting a real cruel vibe from the tension in the trailer and from the write-up, which is what made me think of When Evil Lurks.
I clicked on the director, and the first shot, you know how it has like a little next to him, a little trailer, was just a guy with a shotgun in his mouth. Like, oh God, this is
no,
all right,
that's the director's portrait, man. He's long gone.
This director made something called Before the Fall. He also made, and listen, this is not his fault. I know why he made it. He made Rings. Rings.
He did make Rings.
Well, we all want a career in the industry. We
do. Exactly.
Listen, if it asked me to make Rings, I'd have made Rings.
He's an indie director who I don't believe... I want to make sure of this because I'm pretty sure he's not an American director. He was born in Spain. And so that's all to say that like... It's like the director of Downfall when they're like, good job, you made Downfall. Now here's the remake of Invasion of the Body Snatchers. And he's like, all right, I like money.
It has
the same vibe
as someone you meet who's like repairing your sink. And they're like, yeah, in my home country, I was a neurosurgeon. It's that same kind of dynamic.
Like, here, make Rings.
Yeah.
You made this great fucking movie
that
in your
swept
country.
Or won the Academy Award for Best Foreign Film. Now make Rings.
Yeah, make this crocodile picture. All right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, fuck it, man.
Sweet.
I'm happy to be here. Like, again, if someone came to me and said,
I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And like, if someone said, make the next Ring movie to me, I'd be like, can do, boss.
Yeah,
you know, like.
Exactly. Like, I would not turn away this crocodile movie. I'd be like, yes, give me the crocodile picture.
It'd be a real piece of shit, but I'd make it.
I'd make Ring with a crocodile. The crocodile comes out of the TV.
Well, I would turn it down because I have artistic integrity, and that's easy for me to say in this situation.
Anyway, that's all to say that The Wait looks good. So check out The Wait 2023. Sorry, put that in because like I feel like if you just Google The Wait, you're gonna get not. Let me find out.
You might even get a Tom Petty song.
There's a lot of movies called The Wait. But
the story of a preacher, his wife, and an old friend of the preacher who visits the couple in rural Finland. Very different movie.
Uh-oh.
That's it. I'm done.
And we're done. That's a sode.
Woo!
Oh,
hell yeah.
Michael, thank you so much for being on, man.
Thank you. Happy to be here. I'm like a transplant filmmaker.
Do you want to hit any plugs again? Do you want to let anybody know anything?
Just this network's sister network, or at least we consider ourselves sisters.
Absolutely.
Patreon.com/smallbeans. You can find all that stuff there.
And we will. Yeah. Including podcasts that we do together. Podcasts like Star Trek, The Next Futurama, and Spiel Boys.
And Inside Dads.
Exclusively.
Yeah.
I'm just on that.
Oh, right, right. You're talking about the Bridge series.
The Bridge series, yeah. Because I was using that, too.
Man, I am enjoying very much Inside Dads.
It's a fun one.
Yeah, it's good.
It's a delight. Where are we up to? What's been out?
What Lies Beneath is what just came out.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's a great one.
Bad Daddy. Yeah.
I wrote a whole piece on the that stunt casting for Collider. So I was when you guys were talking about it, I was like, yeah!
We have a Patreon, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed, GAMEFULLY, unemployed. We watch movies every Friday night with our patrons, and other stuff.
Perhaps some of these movies.
Who can say? We watch Safe House.
Yeah, perhaps Safe House again.
Small Beans watch Safe House as well. A lot of Safe House going around.
We just trade Safe House around. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we have a Discord community. We have exclusive podcasts. You guys know the deal.
Yeah.
Or maybe you don't. I don't know. Check it out. We also have a store. Head over to gameplayandemployee.com. You can find a link to our Teespring store where we have all kinds of cool original artwork and designs you can get on t-shirts, mugs, stickers, posters, all sorts of things. What's the name of this? Slap your little
dead
weight
kid.
And peepers onto that.
Dead kid peepers.
Dead kid peepers. Should have said that.
Yeah. But you didn't.
You're violent horse peepers.
Yeah, murder horse.
All right. We can be goodbye. Done. Say goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Our music is produced by Chris Corlew. Find him on Twitter at TheCorlew or go to shipwrecksailor.bandcamp.com. Our channel artwork is by Michael Vincent Bramley. For more of his work, go to mvbramley.art. Episode artwork is by Justin Brown. Available on Twitter as @JustinTBrown or at artnessbyjustinbrown.com. And finally, additional artwork by Starlene Hodge. You can find her work at starlenearts.com or Twitter @StarleneX. Goodbye now.